Good afternoon. It is 19 minutes after 5 o'clock, and you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitco, where right now it is 62 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News for Thursday, September 5th, 2013. Tunneling work for Sitka's Blue Lake Hydro Expansion Project is just about wrapped up, and construction crews are pouring concrete for the new powerhouse. Dean Orbison, project manager for the Sitka Electric Department, updated the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week on the progress of the city's largest ever public works undertaking. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
There are three main components to the Blue Lake project: the dam itself, a new intake tunnel and vertical shaft called a surge chamber, and the powerhouse. Residents who drive out the road to the Herring Cove trailhead can't miss the work on the powerhouse. The hole for the foundation is pretty deep, and so far, Orbison says, dry.
All these white sacks out front here are a cofferdam with plastic over the top of them to keep Sawmill Creek from running into the foundation. The elevation of Sawmill Creek is about 12 feet above sea level. The bottom elevation of the foundations and the draft tubes, the part we've been working on, is at minus 12. If Sawmill Creek were to leak in there, it would be a wet mess.
Orbison reported to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce at the start of this project. Midway through the $140 million effort, his enthusiasm has not tapered at all. He showed a slide of the 660-ton crane, the largest in Alaska, slinging an 8-yard bucket of concrete over forms erected on top of the existing dam. The crane used to be fun to talk about, but now it's already old news as the next piece of super equipment has arrived. It's a concrete pump truck like you might see pouring the foundations of a skyscraper in a city.
The crane is cool up at the dam. This pump truck here, they load it with two concrete trucks, and they can sit with that pump truck there and pump concrete to any location in the powerhouse. This snout, you just put it over where you want it, and you turn on the pump, and it pumps the concrete in there, feeding it with two trucks at a time. That truck showed up one morning, the day of the first pour, and it pumped 500 yards in one day on the very first day here. When they said that they were going to do this, I said, "You got to be kidding." They did it.
The powerhouse is being built by Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, which recently bought out McGraw Construction. ASRC is one of about a dozen contractors and subs working on the project. Orbison said the city, however, purchased its own generation and switching equipment directly. Most is on site, and all except the new turbines are being stored inside at Sawmill Cove. The turbines themselves, he said, are too heavy to bring inside. The Blue Lake Dam was originally designed to be raised, about 23 feet. Orbison said Sitka is pushing the envelope by going up another 83 feet. The canyon walls are so steep that the appearance of the lake won't be affected much by the increase in water level. At the back of the lake, though, 362 acres of the inlet valley will be inundated. Orbison said the State Department of Environmental Conservation put the brakes on plans to salvage the timber to protect the quality of Sitka's drinking water.
By not logging it, we'll end up with all sorts of floating debris floating around in the lake. And what we'll do is we'll gather up when the lake levels up, and we'll haul it down into this area here. And when the water level goes down, we'll go in there and burn it. And when the water level comes up, we'll gather up another bunch and put it in there. The idea is to keep all the debris at this end of the lake, and then we'll have another debris boom at this end of the lake protecting the part that we drink.
Orbison reported no major delays in the project. Some pleasant surprises were the quality of the rock in the new intake tunnel and where the dam meets the canyon wall. Orbison also pointed out that what made Blue Lake an excellent place for a hydro project also made it very dangerous. But he said there were no major injuries since a track hoe flipped at the beginning of work last winter. Blue Lake is projected to be complete in February 2015. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And you can listen to Orbison's entire presentation to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, as well as view his slides. It's all on our website, kcaw.org. The state's largest public employee union and the Parnell administration will enter into arbitration over the issue of office space. An arbitrator has been selected, but the time frame for the negotiations are still unknown. Here's KTOO's Lisa Fu with more.
Arbitration depends on the availability of the state the union, and the person selected to settle the dispute. The state says that may not be until August 2014. Alaska State Employees Union Executive Director Jim Duncan says that's not acceptable.
Members have a right to have their issues heard in a timely manner, and a year from now is not timely. And meanwhile, during that period of time, we will have members who will continue to be negatively impacted by the issue that we are in arbitration about.
The union filed a class action grievance in July because it believes the state's office standards drastically changed the work environment. Duncan says the state failed to negotiate with the union prior to implementing the standards, which violates the collective bargaining agreement. Deputy Administration Commissioner Curtis Thayer says the state has had space standards for at least 33 years.
They've never bargained them with the union. Management has always had the right to establish the space and the desk and the working environment.
Duncan says putting more employees into a smaller number of floors poses safety and health concerns in regards to the number of fire exits and restrooms. The number of those isn't increasing. Privacy is also a concern.
We have members who deal with a lot of issues that are confidential in nature, protected issues under federal law. The clientele they serve needs to know that their conversations are being held in private.
The state's office standards include private telephone booths, conference rooms, and other features that Thayer believes improve the work environment.
We're giving them ergonomically correct furniture. We're giving them right to light. They're getting new break rooms and dishwashers and microwaves and coffee pots that they never had before. And the employees are thanking us for it.
Duncan says the state is painting a picture that employees are happy with the new office space.
That's entirely false. And I am getting emails constantly. We are getting many more members attending our worksite meetings than we've ever had on this topic. There is more interest in this. There's more opposition to this. There's more concern on this issue from our members than any other issue that we've been addressing in recent times.
Deputy Commissioner Thayer doesn't know what the union wants out of the arbitration. He says employees are already in the new cubicles.
We can't put them back into the old stuff. It's not here anymore. The break rooms are already triples of the size they used to be. We're not going to return the new refrigerator and the dishwasher to the local appliance store. So that's one of the things that I'm kind of trying to understand is what do they want?
Duncan says the union continues to ask the state for the same thing.
Before they proceed, we have to sit down and negotiate those changes with the union and get our involvement. That would mean that they wouldn't proceed until we've had an agreement. By delaying the arbitration until August of next year, it's working in their benefit. They're going to continue to install the cubicles, and it's going to continue to have a negative impact on our membership.
According to Thayer, the Division of Insurance on the 15th floor of the Robert Atwood Building in Anchorage is up next for a space renovation. He says the division asked for it. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
Attorneys for the state and the cities of Petersburg and Juneau argued in court on Wednesday whether the right procedure was followed when drawing up a potential boundary between the municipalities. The City and Borough of Juneau says that the Local Boundary Commission dropped the ball when considering its annexation petition for contested land in between Holcomb Bay and Cape Fanshawe. The LBC argues that they considered all of the evidence when the Petersburg Borough Incorporation petition was approved last year, while Petersburg argues that there was substantial evidence presented that demonstrated their ties to the disputed area. Here's a sample of arguments.
The LBC considered CBJ's witnesses, testimony, evidence, briefing, argument, after reviewing material for weeks and hearing witnesses and arguments over 2 or 3 days in Petersburg. They heard it all.
CBJ has been content
not bound
to wait for first an election to be conducted. They waited quite a while to file the appeal after the Local Boundary Commission made a decision. Then they waited for the election to occur, which carried. Then they waited until January, until the incorporation occurred. And now here we are 8 months later with the borough up and running down the road with
what he's not telling you, Your Honor, is that the LBC affirmatively put our petition on hold pending the December election. originally, our hearings in the CBJ were scheduled to be held less than a month after the election proceeding, but the LBC told us to put our petition on hold. How that can come back to us and the CBJ, and we should be precluded from putting on our arguments, doesn't make any sense to me. And we are not challenging the legality of the formation of the borough.
That was Amy Mead, the attorney for the city and borough of Juneau, before her Jim Brennan representing the Petersburg borough. That was the middle testimony there. In that first testimony, Erling Johansson, a state attorney representing the local boundary commission. Juneau Superior Court judge listened for about an hour and 15 minutes yesterday on CBJ's appeal of the boundary commission decision. He may issue an opinion anytime within the next 6 months. The state last week released an updated document for the Juneau Access Road project to reflect how new shuttle ferries would be used in conjunction with the proposed road. The document is the Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for the road project. It includes various alternatives for improving access between Juneau and Upper Lynn Canal communities of Haines and Skagway. When the State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities first released the impact statement last year, it surprised many Upper Lynn Canal residents to see the alternatives include the use of those shuttle ferries. Then the state last year announced its plans to change the Alaska-class ferry project from one ferry to two shuttles to serve the Lynn Canal. The revised alternatives for the road project released last week are updates to reflect that new shuttle ferry plan, says DOT spokesperson Jeremy Woodrow.
In essence, the SEIS alternatives that involved the ferry projects just had to be updated to reflect the new Alaska-class ferry project.
A day before the updated alternatives were released, Governor Sean Parnell insisted that his decision to change direction on the Alaska-class ferry was independent of his push for the Juneau Access Project.
Certainly, they can be connected in a person's mind, but when I made the decision to go from a 350-foot vessel, that was done at the time because that design had driven costs up from $120 million for that one vessel to $167 million, and it was still going up from there. That's where we got two smaller Alaska Ferry designs from, was from that calculation.
In public comments about the new ferry plan, some Southeast residents have suggested that the state is trying to link the two projects, making them dependent on each other. State officials maintain that is not the case, although Woodrow with the Department of Transportation says the state needs to keep both in mind during the planning stages.